11-year MLS pro Quincy Mariquois here, and you're now listening to The Perfect Soccer Podcast, where your host goes one-on-one to get to know your favorite professional soccer players, both on and off the pitch. Because how better to learn what it takes to become a pro soccer player other than directly from pro soccer players? Today's episode is brought to you by PerfectSoccerSkills.com, the number one and only platform you'll ever need to connect with and learn from pro soccer players. Learn more and enter to win weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to PerfectSoccerSkills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today. With that said, please enjoy today's episode.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Perfect Soccer Podcast. Our special guest today is Kenny Cooper. Kenny, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. Let's just go back in time a little bit. What's your first memory of playing soccer?
Oh, well, so when I was a kid, my dad was a professional indoor coach. So I was really lucky, really fortunate just to like grow up around the professional game. Some of my earliest memories were just like going to his practices, going to Baltimore Blast games. I was really lucky. I grew up in like a soccer family. So it was really like, we were like all soccer all the time. And just like through my dad, we had a lot of like just really great experiences. It was a lot of fun. I look back fondly just on my youth and just how much I enjoyed the game, whether I was playing or watching or talking about it. It was a big part of my childhood and my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. And your dad was a goalkeeper. So how did you not end up being a goalkeeper?
Probably because my dad was a goalkeeper. My dad's from England. He moved to Dallas back in the 70s. We were driving to the World Cup announcement together the other day. And he was like 54 years ago, you know, I moved over here. And so he moved to Dallas to play with the Dallas Tornado, play for Lamar Hunt. And he was a goalkeeper. So he played more or less his whole career here in Dallas, 11 years. When I was growing up, I don't think I really ever even wanted to go in goal. I was always like an attacking player playing like as a 10 or 9 or just anywhere in like that front line. And I just loved going to goal, trying to score goals or create. It's always just in my whole life. I can't ever think of like really playing in any like defensive position. But I was fortunate because he was a goalie. I feel like I got a lot of really great insight and just kind of what to look for. And I really always benefited from just his expertise and advice as a goalkeeper, actually.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Like he could tell you like, where's a good place to shoot where goalies don't like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you end up playing for Manchester United in your youth career?
Wow. All by the grace of God, I was really fortunate. So in my high school years, I was playing here in Dallas. We would play in the Dallas Cup, and my senior year we had played against Benfica, and I think this is how it all unfolded. So we played against Benfica in the opening game of Dallas Cup. I ended up having an opportunity to train with them before they left, and like from that I was going to go train in the summer, and my father had played with a guy called Jim Ryan, who's a youth director at United. And what I think happened is some mutual friends of Jim and my dad, I think knew I was going to Benfica. And I think, you know, basically contacted Jim Ryan and was like, hey, you know, you might want to look at Kenny's son. He's going to Benfica. So I don't think Man United actually ever really saw me play prior to going there to train. Mm-hmm. At the time I was committed to go to SMU. This must've been months before I was supposed to get started at SMU. And so I was doing like 9-a-side, like men's league locally here in Dallas. And all of a sudden I found myself at Man United at Carrington on the first team training pitch with some of my childhood heroes, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Ryan Giggs. It was just, it was amazing just like how quick it happened. I spent about 2 weeks there and was offered a contract. And so my plans changed. But it was just an amazing opportunity, an amazing experience, an amazing education, just for my first steps as a professional to be at Manchester United. Like, I just learned so much and just so much that I was able to take with me really for the rest of my career.
Yeah. When was it like, cause usually I ask people, cause you know, like I ask people like when they were in college, but like, so when was the moment when like, was there a moment that you knew that you could either, or that you were really good or that you could be a pro?
You know, I think I always had like a real like hope and optimism. And I think that they're two really powerful things. I mean, like I didn't know I was going to become a pro until like really it happened. But I always really had like a self-belief, you know, hope and optimism. Again, I think they're really powerful things. And so, I always had these like big dreams, huge ambitions. You know, I really wanted to follow my dad's footsteps, and through him, obviously got great advice, but I think more importantly, had a lot of encouragement, a lot of support. My parents are both really positive people, always helped me to like just feel capable and that, you know, my dreams were possible. And so, and really like, no matter like what was going on, it's not like I wasn't some like, you know, even through high school, it's not like I was in the youth national team or anything like that. But I always believed in my dreams, and by the grace of God, they came true when I was, honestly, I was 18 turning 19, when I had the opportunity to turn pro. So I would say like, the long answer or short answer is, you know, I didn't really know until it happened, but I always had this hope and belief that it was possible.
Yeah, for sure. So what was your first appearance as a pro? Which team was it?
So, I don't know. So when I was at United, I spent a lot of time in the reserves there. Mm-hmm. My first game with them, I want to say I was 18 years old. And then actually while I was at United, I ended up doing two loan stints, one to a Portuguese club called Académica de Coimbra. And then I also went to Oldham Athletic for a little bit, and got great experience, you know, through those two loan moves. They were really challenging. I didn't play all the time, but again, just those first years as a professional were really just, it was such an amazing education for me just to get exposed to that quality, the level of intensity. And it was just a whole different life. I was coming from, you know, my high school years, I'm not sure my teams ever trained more than twice a week. And all of a sudden it was, you know, more of like a daily thing. And, you know, I think it took some time to get used to like the professional lifestyle, but I learned so much in those early years, and look back fondly on them.
Yeah, for sure. Going from high school to pro has to be crazy, like just everything crazy.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing for me really was, the hardest thing for me was just off the field. I mean, at that time, we didn't have FaceTime. England felt really far away from home. Yeah, and I was always really close to my family. I think my biggest challenge was being away from home. But what the club did is they had host families. And so I went into, we called it Digs, and I went in with the host families. I had that family feeling, which was nice. I made a really good friend off the field. I got really close with his family and spent a lot of time with them. So, I needed that kind of support around me. And so, you know, being away from my family was really tough, but, I think an important thing for me was like just connecting with, you know, some other families over there in community. And I think that helped me, on the field anytime, like when I felt settled, comfortable off the field, I think it helped me to thrive on it.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense too. Like it's almost like we all forget about like how times were before like you could contact your family, like without collect calls and all that stuff to like, it's
oh yeah,
to think about. So I'm assuming that's what made you decide, to come back to the US, and then you signed with FC Dallas.
Well, you know, there are, I think, a lot of great reasons to come back home and to start my MLS career with FC Dallas. I mentioned that my father played for Lamar Hunt in the 70s, and he owned the team, FC Dallas, when I was coming back. So, you know, I like literally had the opportunity to walk in my dad's footsteps in that way. Just to play for my hometown team, to play for Lamar. And it was just, I think it was great timing. I had this like base of, you know, a couple years as a professional, and I felt ready for first team soccer at that point. And I think it was the perfect move for me. I got back home around my family, got to share just it all with them and have them close by and have that support system around me. And I really believed in the league and American soccer, and it was perfect timing for me. And I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to do it. And I mean, I love this club, and I'm grateful to still be a part of it. And it's so exciting just to see where the game's at nowadays and where our club's at in this league. It's an amazing time to be part of the game, you know, in America, and the World Cup coming too. I mean, there's just so much to look forward to. So yeah, I'm really glad I made the move back home, and FC Dallas are, you know, just a club that mean a lot to me.
Yeah, you had a long career. So like overall, like, I guess, how was your experience overall in the MLS?
It was great. I mean, I loved it. I spent, you know, having those early years in MLS with Dallas was important. You know, I ended up like, at some point I went back to Europe, and then I came back in the league and kind of journeyed around the league. So I had, I think, a unique experience of like just playing for a lot of different coaches and in different cities. You know, I feel like I really experienced the league in the sense that like I played for a lot of different teams. Got to play with FC Dallas, you know, a second time, which was amazing. I played for Red Bull, Montreal, Seattle, Portland. You know, just had, again, just got like a real experience of the league, just like traveling around, but it was great. I mean, I had some great moments and you know, moments of success and some challenging moments. I've had, you know, had major injuries in my career. I've had all these different kinds of experience that at this point in my life, I really appreciate, like, all the good times, the challenging times. They're all good experiences and great to like recall. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change a thing, honestly.
Yeah. What would you say like the difference between playing in America versus playing in Europe?
Well, you know, I say this a lot. Like when I was first starting in MLS, I think a lot of players wanted to go to Europe to get like this, you know, soccer experience and you know, where, you know, the stadiums are filled, the fans are, you know, just have such a passion for the game. But, you know, we have that in MLS now. And I think that, you know, while back when I was, you know, first starting the league, I think a lot of players wanted to go to Europe to get this soccer experience. I think nowadays people want to come here to get this great soccer experience. I think players want to stay. Yeah. And it's, you know, so impressive to see where the league's at, the quality on the field, just like the infrastructure of the league, the stadiums, the training grounds. I think, I mean, you see just world-class players are coming here. Amazing talent is staying here. And I think the future is, you know, really bright for this league, and it's really great to see how far it's come.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like MLS is just like, I don't know if it's the most rapidly growing, but I feel like it's one of the most rapidly growing leagues.
Oh yeah. No, it's awesome.
Yeah. In 2008, you were named to the best 11 team. What did that mean to you?
Yeah. You know, I have to, so that was a special year for me. Actually, the year before I had broken my leg, and I missed a number of months, and ended up coming back and you know, having a really good year after a really challenging year. And it's one of the lessons that like I love to recall, is just like, for me, actually some of my greatest moments and successful moments came after some of my biggest challenges. And And again, so I had broken my leg not long before. So when I came back in 2008, I had, like, for me, possibly the best year of my career, made best 11 and the All-Star game that year, I think, and got comeback player of the year. So that was, you know, that was definitely a special year when I look back on it. I was scoring a lot of goals. I would say, like, in regards to just like that kind of stuff, just like that kind of recognition, that was a big year for me, probably my biggest year.
And that's great. Yeah, you won comeback player of the year as well. So that's crazy to win those two awards, I feel like, in the same year. I feel like usually you win comeback player of the year, and that's like the only one that a person gets usually.
Yeah. No, that's something I have to say, that recognition is means a lot to me for sure. And it would, you know, when you get injured, I'm sure you always know kind of what the timeline will be and, you know, or how long it'll take to like get back to your best maybe. But, you know, I was lucky, you know, that I was here in Dallas. Again, I was surrounded by my support system, my family. You know, I saw a doctor who I had seen in high school. You know, I just had this amazing support system around me, which I think, you know, ultimately just really helped me to get back to my best really quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And then tell me what it was like to play for the U.S. national team.
Well, I mean, it was a dream come true. You know, when I was a kid, I mentioned, you know, I was never in any of the youth national teams. I think I was always looking at, you know, those guys as like, oh, just, you know, I wanted to get to that level, I think, for a long time. And to get my first call up was very special. I remember so vividly just that moment when I got a call from Pam Perkins, and I was in Baltimore in a parking lot where, you know, when she called me, and I'll never forget that. And I went to January camp in Chula Vista I think we were in Manhattan Beach, and played against Denmark. I came off the bench and was able to score. So it was just such an honor to represent my country. And it was really motivating too, because once you get a taste for it, you just want to do it more and more. And, you know, I was never someone that was in it all the time. I think my appearances kind of came here and there, but just getting a taste of it, I think, just really for the rest of my career was a huge motivation, because I wanted more and more of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, just stat wise, I mean, it says you made 10 appearances and you had 4 goals. So I don't know why you didn't get more appearances.
You know, I'm grateful for the ones I had, and they're definitely some of the, there's so much, you know, just from my career that just like, that I do forget, but those experiences with the national team, I think, are just some of the most vivid memories, and just incredibly special.
Yeah.
Enjoy learning what it takes to become a better player from professional soccer players? Well, how would you like to work with professional players one-on-one? Now you can with Be Pro by Perfect Soccer. Head over to perfectsoccerskills.com/BEPRO to apply to work with our network of pro players today.
And then tell me a little bit about your post-career, like what you're doing now. I know you're an ambassador for FC Dallas. Yep. You have your own YouTube channel. You've been doing a lot of social content.
So I'm the ambassador for FC Dallas. I'm a spokesperson for the club. I absolutely love the role. On a daily basis, I get to support the first team at training. So I go to all the first team training sessions. I spend time with our second team, North Texas Soccer Club, and I spend time in the academy. You know, there's just a whole ecosystem now, just with first team, second team, academy teams, where just for a former player, there's so many opportunities to stay plugged in, to stay on the field. You know, I try to be like a mentoring figure. And there's just so many experiences that I can share from. So yeah, I feel, you know, so blessed to still be, you know, with the club. I love all the community and fan connecting and engagement that I get to do. You know, whether it's community clinics or watch parties, I get, there's just so many great opportunities for me to have the crest on and to stay plugged in. And so I really love the role, and I feel really fortunate to still be in the game.
Yeah, that's awesome. Are you ready for the Quincy questions? You're going to have to think a little bit harder for these ones.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
What's the most important skill or quality you feel made you successful as a pro player?
I'll say two. So optimism and resilience. I mean, I think like for me, my career had ups and downs. So, you know, it was important to stay positive, hopeful, to stay encouraged, and to just to get back up and keep going. I think so many times, you know, I can imagine players think, you know, the technical, tactical quality, I mean, they're obviously important, but I think, you know, having that self-belief, that optimism, you know, being resilient. I just think that they're so important, you know, I really do. And for me, you know, just with the different challenges, you know, throughout my career, whether it was injuries or getting traded or getting left off a squad or just whatever, you know, I think having that optimism and self-belief, again, resilience, I think, you know, was really important.
Yeah, for sure. What's the biggest mistake you think pro players are making?
Like that I made, or
Just like that you think, like maybe current day, or maybe I don't know, stuff that you've seen now or stuff that you've seen before.
I don't know. I may not be answering this like directly, but you know. One thing I'll say, like when I look back on my career, just being professional, I think of being a professional as this lifestyle and not just like this, like clock in, clock out job. So like for, you know, obviously training is maybe an hour, hour and a half, but for me, being a professional is so much more than just like that time on the field. It was like, how was I resting? Yeah. You know, what was I eating? When was I like, you know, timing when I, you know, meals or just all that kind of stuff. You know, just being prepared. I think I quickly found out like when I became a pro that like what I was doing off the field was just as important as like the training I was doing. So like how I was resting, recovering. Like, so I think that like, for me, when I look back again on just like what it means to be a pro, I'm like, it's a lifestyle. It's like there's so many decisions I think I can make in a day that'll have this like, you know, potentially really positive impact on what I do on the field.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that makes sense. What advice would you give to a young player, either, you know, trying to get a college scholarship or make a pro league?
Well, something I often think about and say a lot is just that there's, you know, there's many paths to the same destination. And, you know, someone might go pro out of high school. Someone might go to college first. Someone might not turn pro till their mid-20s. I mean, we have some amazing examples at our club. Bernard Camungo is an amazing story. He came to a tryout with North Texas Soccer Club, and now he's in our first team and was just with the national team. You know, there's so many, you know, different paths that lead to the same destination, and we all have our own path. And so I think, you know, to look at someone else's route and maybe, you know, I think it can be easy to feel discouraged that like someone maybe feels ahead or, you know, they're doing it this way, but there's many paths, you know, that lead to the same destination. And I think we all are on our own unique journey and path.
Yeah. I could definitely agree with you. Just like interviewing over like 100 soccer players now. And it's just, I mean, obviously everyone's story is different, but like everyone's path, like there's been crazy. I've seen it. I've heard it pretty much all at this point. I feel like high school, yeah. Pro, going to college, transferring colleges, still making it pro, yeah. Not getting drafted. Supplemental draft, regular draft,
yeah,
drafted, like there's a million different ways, like you just said.
Yeah, and I think it could be great for young players to hear stories like that, just to know that there's different ways to make it. I've heard amazing stories of like, my dad would tell me, he would say, son, you never know who stood behind a tree watching. And just the idea was like, you know, you never know, you know, who you might be impressing. And it might be a scout. It might be someone that knows a scout. You just never know. And again, there's many paths to the same destination. I've heard some amazing stories of like, I played with a guy in Germany. I think the story was that he wasn't playing in the reserve team, but the first team coach had seen him at training was like, that's the best forward at this club, and ended up, I think, with the first team. I'd heard another one, I think, where a player was like marking a guy that was getting scouted and the team ended up bringing him in. You know, just there's so many ways to get there.
Yeah, for sure. I had Jay Demerit on, which was crazy. He started out in like the seventh division of like over in England, and then made it all the way to the first division and then played in the MLS. And then another guy recently had on, Luis, I forgot his last name, but he's like an indoor player, and he was just like the backup goalie, like still had a full-time job and everything. And then I just saw recently this year, he made his first appearance, so that was cool.
I love that. It could be so, I mean, there's so much power in storytelling, and I think it'd be so great for young players to hear about just different paths.
Yeah, for sure. Why are you passionate about soccer?
You know, that's really hard to explain. But I, again, you know, I grew up in the game. You know, I just have this, like, it's like just this innate love for it. I mean, I love to play it. I love to watch it. I love to talk about it. Nowadays, there's like so much content and commentary on the game. And I'm always just listening to things. I'll like just as quickly pull up, you know, like former players talking about the game, you know, as I will to like actually watch it. But and I think that's hard to explain. I mean, it's maybe just an innate thing. I've just always really just been like drawn to the game, and I just love it. And if it's even possible, I love it even more now than, you know, even when I was younger. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning a lot. I took my B course, you know, not long ago at FC Dallas. I have, you know, because I'm able to be at, you know, around so many teams and coaches and just within this ecosystem, I get exposed to just so many sessions and ideas. And I'm constantly learning, even though I played for 12 years and I've been around the game for so long, I'm constantly learning and picking up new things. And I'm eager to still.
Yeah. Do you want to be like a coach?
Honestly, I really love the role I'm in, and I get to do a lot of coaching, you know, now. So
sounds like you're in a really fun position right now.
I really enjoy it, I have to say. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, I think what feels so purposeful about being on the field is just like, you know, I want to be, you know, a mentoring figure. So I feel like the more teams I could be around, the more players, the better. And my role allows me to spread out, I think, in a really unique way. I really enjoy it. I hope it's something I can do for a really long time.
Yeah, for sure. All right. These next two are life related or soccer related. What is something that most people think is true that you believe isn't?
Oh my gosh. Something that I don't know.
It could be like,
I don't know. I got to come back to that one.
It could be like something like as simple as like somebody thinks like pizza is the best food and you're like, nah, like pizza is not the best food. I like blank. Like, so it could be like anything.
Oh, I don't know. I'll say this. I don't know if I'm answering this directly. I am an eternal optimist. I feel like I could be watching a game and a team could be losing 3-0 with 2 minutes left, and someone might be like, it is impossible to get back. But I've seen so many great comebacks in my life, especially like with Manchester United, like these last second goals. So I, as long as like a game is going on, I always believe a team can turn it around. Like, it just doesn't matter how much time is left. So that's my eternal optimism speaking. I can imagine there's lots of situations where someone's like, game's done, it's over. And I think I'm always like, no, it's not.
that's a really good one, because you've seen it before just on like when they show it on like SportsCenter or something, like
Yeah, all the time.
The fans leave the stands and then the team comes back and then they're trying to run back to the stadium and they can't. They left.
Absolutely.
That's like the funniest. What is something you'd move forward with if you were if you weren't scared of what would happen if things didn't go well?
These are good questions. Wow. Something I would move forward with, just like even though like the there's a possibility to fail, is that like what it is? I don't know. I gotta come back to that one. That's a deep question. I gotta give that more thought. That's really deep.
Those are the Quincy questions for that, but now we'll ask fun questions. I saw that the 7-on-7 tournament follows you. Were you had any interest in playing?
I actually had played in it last year.
Oh, you did.
And I hope it's, I mean, it's an amazing tournament. They did such a great job. It was almost like stepping into a time warp. It just felt so professional, and I can imagine it's just going to get bigger and bigger. So as long as my legs still work, I hope it's something that I can continue to participate in.
Which team were you on?
I was with a team called Dallas United.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I was watching the whole thing. It was like, it literally got bigger and bigger, like by the media, like over pretty much overnight with like social media and everything. Like,
yeah,
like, even the plays were on Top 10 SportsCenter, same thing. Like, it was crazy. It was a crazy. Mm-hmm. is it called football or soccer?
We use both. I mean, we use both. Yeah. I like to call it footy. I probably use the word soccer more often than not, though. Yeah. But my dad's from England, so when we're talking, I think we may call football. Yeah. We use both.
What about, is it goalkeeper or goalie?
I think keeper.
All right.
Yeah.
Who do you like better, Messi or Ronaldo?
Oh. Okay, so I'll use this as an opportunity to tell my Ronaldo story that I love. So when how can you choose one? I mean, I think that there are goats, not just one. I just think that there's been so many amazing players in the history of this game, and there's so many that I just have such admiration for. But when I was at United, so Cristiano had signed around the same time, and I was just telling someone this story the other day. After I broke my leg, I actually I was with FC Dallas and broke my leg, but the club let me come back and train just as I was coming back. And I want to say it was like January, winter time, cold, rainy, and training was done, and I was going upstairs for lunch. And when you would go up the stairs at Carrington, it would, you know, these stairs would basically like overlook the first team training pitch. I remember looking out the window and seeing like just one player all by himself still training, and it was Cristiano. And I was really, I think, just inspired and just to see his dedication and work ethic. That was something just in my time at United. These guys were superstars and had unbelievable quality, but there was such an amazing work ethic and I think intensity too. When I look back on my time there, I'm just so grateful to have had that education.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was when he was like really younger, right?
Oh yeah, at that time maybe like 22 or something.
Yeah, that's crazy. Last one. Who would you want to do a jersey exchange with that you didn't get to do one with?
You know, that I have to say is a huge regret of mine. I wish I'd have done more.
Yeah. I feel like it also became more popular, like, you know, in the last.
Yeah, maybe. One of my treasures was from the All-Star game. It played with a lot of amazing players, and David Beckham had signed that shirt. I had gotten a Wayne Rooney signed jersey for my brother-in-law. I kind of wish I had kept that one for myself. My dad actually had Pelé signed jersey, which I think is amazing. I don't know why I didn't collect more over the years. Who do I wish I had? You know, I wish and it was a teammate, but I wish I'd have gotten a jersey signed by Thierry. It was to play with him in New York, and he was just amazing. And it would have been cool to have one of his kids signed.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Kenny. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and could you let the listeners know where they could follow you at?
Yes, sir. Kenny Cooper Jr.
Quincy Mariquois here, and thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it with someone you feel will get some value from it. And if you could take a moment to leave a review of our podcast wherever you're listening and let us know who you'd like us to interview next, we'll get working on that right away. You can listen to this full episode and more at perfectsoccerskills.com/radio. That's perfectsoccerskills.com/RADIO. You can also enter to win free weekly soccer prizes, goals, balls, jerseys, player meet and greets, and more by heading over to perfectsoccerskills.com/PSTM to enter to win for free today.